Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Well, welcome everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Today, I have a fabulous guest to share with you. Heather Ann Havenwood is with us again. She was here earlier in the year, and I just had to have her back. So we're going to get Heather on the show in just a moment. But first, I always want to give a shout out to all of you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share with us here on the show. You know, I often say that being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. You come from that heart-centered place. You want to make a difference in the world, impact other people's lives. And perhaps this is you, and that's why you decided to join us on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. It's going to be a fabulous show. And if you've joined us before, welcome back. I know that you're going to get great value from our interview with Heather Ann today as well. Now, I know that time is our most precious asset, so I always want to make sure that this time is value-packed so that you feel your time was well spent. And don't forget to check out the show page. There are links to connect with me as well as our guest, and there's always free gifts for you there. So make sure you check that out before you leave the show today. Without further ado, allow me to introduce our guest for today. Heather Ann Havenwood is a serial entrepreneur and is regarded as a top authority in digital marketing, sales coaching, and online business strategies. Heather Ann has been named the top 50 must-follow women entrepreneurs for 2017 by the Huffington Post. She's also sometimes called the Chief Sexy Boss from her Amazon best-selling book, Sexy Boss, How Female Entrepreneurship is Changing the Rulebook and Beating the Big Boys. And others call her an icon creator, a wizard behind the curtain. In 2006, she started, developed, and grew an online information marketing publishing company from ground zero to over a million in sales in less than 12 months. Without a list, a product, a name, or an offer, Heather Ann molded her business partner into a successful guru now known as an expert in his field. She has instructed, coached, and promoted hundreds of entrepreneurs, leading them down the path to success in building a lucrative business from their knowledge and leveraging it online. Join me now in welcoming Heather Ann to the show. Well, welcome, Heather Ann. Thank you so much for being here. I know that you're a busy person, so I truly want to thank you for sharing with all of us here in The Holistic Entrepreneur during your busy day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is going to be a ton of fun, so make sure everyone listens up because this is going to be a really good interview.
Oh, and you know, I always have fun when we chat. Today, our topic is you know, about being everywhere like a boss. Mm-hmm. But how did, and I'm assuming that you are. So, you know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story, right? Would you share with us first a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to the work that you do today in helping other people be everywhere like a boss?
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, I've been in information marketing and the online marketing world since 01. My first business plan and online was in 1999. And I'm giving you this like background, like I feel like I'm old, but at the same time, I'm not. Like I just, you know, the internet, there used to be a time when the business plan of my internet business in 1999 was things like, you know, how to get on AOL. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's been around a while before Facebook, before all that. My point is things have changed. Things have altered. Things are constantly changing. They will continue to change. And so what I work with now is I work with clients one-on-one to figure out where they're headed in their business and what are the specific growth hacks and things that they're not doing online that they could leverage those quickly and easily, right? They could quickly and easily leverage those. They're going to double and triple their income. So one of my clients came to me for the last 7 years. She's never hit more than $250,000. Like just like, that's it. Like that's her been her like glass ceiling internally. Mm-hmm. And she's only been working with me for 4 months. And I said to her, okay, this is where we're at in revenue. If you do nothing, if you stop working with me right now, if you just don't do anything else new of the growth hacks we've done, you're going to be at $960,000 by the end of 2018. Like she's just, and it's all I did was I go in and I look at the different levers and I kind of change things around. Mm. So that's what I do now. And it, there's specific things that business owners can do in such a way that will, what I call hack, you know, growth hack themselves, but also hack the online presence so they feel like and seem like they're everywhere. And that's what I do.
Mm, I love that. And you know, that's where it's at. I mean, you can reach the world now. You don't have to just be tied to your geographic location. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, girl. It's all about being omnipresent. That's my new word.
I love that word. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what omnipresent is.
Okay. So the definition of omnipresent basically means anywhere and everywhere. There's a kind of a God sense to that. Omnipresent, God, universe, right, is omnipresent. However, in our world today, you've got to be able to be willing to be omnipresent online everywhere to a point where people say things like, God, I see you everywhere. And that's something that I've been taking on for 2018. And I'm not even scratched the surface on the level that I'm doing now, but I am literally focused on the mission that by the end of 2018, 3 million people or more know who Heather Ann Havenwood is and what she does. And it's a very different psychology. So a lot of clients, or a lot of coaching clients come to me and say, hey, well, I don't want to do that. What I want is I want, you know, small number of clients that are VIP, that are really private, that with a high price point, right? It's kind of that kind of specific psychology. And that's great. That's awesome. However, may I suggest that means that you have a smaller number of clients. And if one falls off, that could be 20, 30% of your revenue. And if you go to the 80-20 rule, which is 80% of your revenue only comes from 20% of your clients, that is accurate. That's a scientific measure. Okay. That's not just on clients. It's everything. It's a scientific measure. I highly suggest that book, 80-20. If you look at that psychology, then at any moment now, one client leaves and that could kill your business, right? Like the next day. So you have to be always looking at what's happening in today's marketplace. How are things have shifted? Going back to my 1999, I mean, Bonnie, things have changed since 99. You know, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, right. So 99, things have altered from where we are 2018 and beyond. So how do you change with the times? And there's a different psychology around it. The psychology is be everywhere all the time, right? Mm. That's the new psychology.
Yeah. So now, and I get this question sometimes from people, and perhaps you do too, Heather Ann, that it's like, okay, so I'm going to do everything, be everywhere, and there is really no plan or strategy to it. So it's kind of like throwing spaghetti on the wall. Some people think that that's how you should do it. What is your take on that? I mean, for me personally, I think there needs to be some strategy and plan.
Absolutely. There needs to be strategy and plan, but the first thing is psychology around it. And I know that kind of going backwards in that, but when someone says, well, what should I do? Focus on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. I said, all of it.
Yep.
I know for myself, the last year, I've really been focusing on LinkedIn specifically and have a whole strategy around that. Each specific platform has its own strategy behind it. Email's got a different strategy. Chatbots, you and I talked about, and I talk a lot about chatbots. It's a different kind of strategy. At the end of the day, the big strategy, like the big, huge vision of it is being omnipresent all the time, everywhere. Right. So how do I do that in such a way that if you're not pissing people off, can I say that word pissing? If you're not pissing people off, if you don't have a hater yet, if you've not gotten the I'm pissed at you email yet, you haven't hit that stride. Mm. So your goal is to get a hater.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that's very counterintuitive. And from a holistic entrepreneurial level, as I know your listeners are, that's going to feel very, I don't know, awkward or maybe discomfortable, right? Because holistic people in general want to be loved and adored and they want to heal people. So I understand that. However, if you want to be able to be really omnipresent, you almost in a way, it's like the moment you get a hater, you're like, I have arrived. Mm-hmm. I have hit the stone, right? You haven't gone that far yet. You think you've gone far enough? Yeah, I don't have a hater yet. And the hater, what I mean by that is just somebody that's like, hey, you're pitching too much, or I see you everywhere. Why are you doing that? Awesome. The moment they start complaining that they're basically seeing you anywhere and everywhere is the moment that you're starting to get somewhere.
Mm, yeah, you have to be in their face, kind of. I mean, you know, and that might be uncomfortable for people.
That's your KPI. If everyone loves you, if everyone loves you, which I think is great, but if everyone loves you and doesn't disagree with you, you haven't even hit the wall yet. You haven't even started to scratch the surface. If you look at people that are big in everything, and you can go down to Mark Victor Hansen or Chicken Soup for the Soul or someone really interesting, Alex Jones, or someone like Howard Stern, I'm just naming off really big people. If you look at like Howard Stern, there's a stat that comes out that over 51% of his listeners don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the psychology of that. 51% of people that listen don't like him. Huh? Right? So my point is, I mean, that's really big. That's huge. It's massive. But if you have to be willing, you have to be willing to let people be upset at you. Because in that moment, people now are making a decision about you. And if they're making a decision about you, they're getting on or off the fence. There's no money. There's no business if everyone's on the fence about you. It's like, Oh, yeah, she's nice. Oh, she's great. The moment you get people to either I agree or I disagree is where the money happens.
Right? Oh, that's such
got to be willing to be decide. You've got to be willing to get them to say yes or hell no. Right in that moment, you now have a business. If it's just all lovey-dovey only, then there's no decisiveness in it. Right? There's no decisiveness in it. And that is where what I call business and money and prosperity come from, when you force in a weird way, you force them to make a decision about you. Either like, you're driving me crazy, which means you're in there, you hear them, or, oh, I really love you, I want to buy from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, so and you know, you hear all the time, it's not that you really need to get a yes from everybody, you just need to get an answer.
Exactly. You don't need to say yes or no. So Tony Robbins, that's somebody, obviously Tony Robbins, Abraham Hicks, those are big names, right? Mm-hmm. Oprah. Some people don't like Oprah. Can you believe it? Some people just do not like that girl, right?
But yet they watch her.
They watch her, right? They'll be like, I don't like her, and I'm going to watch this stupid video, even though I don't like her, you know, boom, right? So same thing with Brene Brown. I mean, I think she's amazing. I really love her work. However, she's got haters. She talks about her haters. She talks about how people say to her, she's overweight and they don't like her hair and all this. She talks about it all the time. And I found that really interesting. She talked about it because I thought to myself, she's made it. The moment she's had people basically say to her, I think you're overweight and I don't like your hair, tells you she's made it.
Mm-hmm.
She's made it. And she knows that. She's like, yeah, you know, I probably could lose 20 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. And like, my work is my work and I'm flawed and this is who I am. Because she knows that the moment she says to people, hey, there's people that don't like me, that means that I'm getting somewhere. I'm actually making a difference in the marketplace.
Mm. And you know listening to you talk about that, Heather Ann, it's like if you come from that internal locus of control, as you know, Stephen Covey's calls it, you're okay with who you are, no matter what's going on. You're overweight, your hair is bad, whatever. Right. It doesn't matter. What anybody says doesn't matter ever.
No, because you're focused on, you're getting your work out there. You're getting your energy out there. You're focused on getting your healing out there, whatever that is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my clients, I worked with her and we keep working on her work. Now, here's something I deal with a lot with clients who are let's call them speakers, authors, and coaches. Like they have this and they're really great at this thing. Like Stephen Covey was one of them, right? So Stephen Covey got to a point where he was able to, what I call, box his work, right? So that's how he's able to get this huge, huge $1 million company, because he was able to box his work. So that's great. That's how you can really leverage being omnipresent. With my current client right now, I'm working with her on like, how do I box her work? How do I box her into a little box? Now she drives her crazy because she's like, I don't want to be boxed. And I'm like, I don't know that. However, in the world of being omnipresent, that's the only way you're going to get to that point, is boxing yourself. Now, once you get in the door with the box, right? Once you get in the door with the client or the customer or the corporate, in her case, it's a lot of corporations. Once she gets in the door and with the box, then she can go into her creative side. Right? We're like, oh no, so throw away the box and let's go create. Right? However, you've got people only buy what they understand. Mm-hmm. And if they don't understand it, then they can't buy it. And they have to be able to be willing to like you or not like you. I want the box. I don't want the box. That's what you want, versus like, I don't even know what the box is. Just leave it on the desk. You don't want that, right? You'd be like, oh, I like her. Oh, I don't like her. Fine. Yeah. At least there's a decision.
Yeah. And you have to have a front door. I mean, once you have somebody in your house, so to speak, then you can show them what else you have, but you got to have that front door, a way for, to get them in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the things that I do, Bonnie, and I think you know this, is I launch people's podcasts for one of my services. I just closed a client today. She's a very successful organizational development company. So she goes into big, big companies. And she's like, why should I do this? And I said, the reason why you need to do this is start to become omnipresent so that you can get your work and your content out there on such a mass scale that by the time they reach you, by the time they actually reach you, the creator, they've already gotten the sense of know, like, and trust from you. They've already made a decision about you. They've already been like, I like her. She's sassy. She's independent. She like her. I like her style, right? Way before you ever get into the proposal stage. Mm-hmm. Like they've already had some connection with you. And a great way to do that is podcasting, as you have here and I have myself. It's a great way for people to know, like, and trust you and move through that front door, as you call it, so they can get to what I call the services on the other side. But again, that's being omnipresent. Right? So like with you, you're omnipresent. You are getting everywhere. You are getting everywhere. However, people get to know, like, and trust you. They listen to you. They're like, oh, I like her. I don't like her. Whatever. Ladies, allows them to make a decision about you, Bob.
Right. Right.
Exactly. They like me. Don't like me. Cool. I'm not holistic. All right. No problem. Each made a decision. Right. So people make decisions, get them to make a decision. When you're too big, when you're too mass, the worst thing you can ever say to me as a coach is say, what's your market? And then you as a client say, everyone. And I'm like, hey, wrong answer. You know, so that's what you need to be able to do, is be omnipresent and in a loving way, piss people off.
Yeah. And you know, I think list building is truly essential for entrepreneurs. But you know what? I've had people sign up for my courses and actually still have some one-on-one clients from this that were never on my list, but they'd been listening to my podcast for years.
Yeah.
And said, I want to do what you do. I need to learn from you. And I didn't have them on my list. But people don't even think about how, you know, how that happens. Like, they got to be on your list, or you have to be sending them messages or whatever. And no, you can reach them in so many ways these days.
Yeah, I kind of look at it. The old school view of that, Bonnie, is that kind of what you said, where there's a specific funnel they have to get on your list and then you sell them. We as human beings are not linear, right? We want to walk in any of the doors. You know, we don't even like it when Walmart makes us force into one. You know what I mean? We're like, can't we walk in the other ones? That's what happens, is we want to be able to be freed up. Now, once we get in the doors of Walmart, I'm going to use that example. We can use anything, grocery store, Walmart, whatever. Once we walk in the door, they give you freedom, right? You got to go into the one door. There's only one door to go in, one door to go out. But once we get in, we can literally go down any aisle we so choose, right? We get to choose our adventure. Same thing with business. We want to have a door, one major door. You know, like our website's kind of a door, and give them all kinds of options to do business with us. They're freed up. They don't have to go get the $27 ebook and then the $297 course. I'm just making that up. They could say, you know what? I don't want any of that. I just want Bonnie. I just want to pay you X amount of thousands of dollars and work with you directly. I don't want any of that. I don't have to do that. I just want to go direct. I want to go right to the end, right? Why are you forcing people to go down that channel? Why are you forcing them to get on your email list? Why are you forcing them to go to your podcast? It's like, here are all the doors to work with me. Here are all the different aisles.
Yeah.
And that's the psychology of omnipresent.
Well, and I don't know, do you, and perhaps you deal with this in some of the clients you work with, Heather Ann, but it's that allowing part, you know, that, okay, people know what they want, or they think they know what they want, and they do all these things to get what they want, and then they don't let it in. Like they're not comfortable being visible, being out there as an example of what we're talking about today. It's like, yes, I want this, but oh, I don't know if I want to do it, you know?
What do you think that is? What do you think that is? That people don't want to be visible?
To me personally, I believe it's a worthiness issue. It's a self-love issue. It's like they don't feel that they're valuable enough from the inside. And they're afraid to, you know, be rejected or whatever. And so I deal with that a lot with clients is, oh, but I don't know if I can, I don't know if I want to. And they're not willing to be bold. And, you know, from our conversation today, Heather Ann, you got to be bold, right?
Yeah, you got to be bold. Let me, I agree with you. Let me give you a different philosophy on it though. Just throwing a different philosophy out. It is a worry issue. I agree with you. I'm going to add to that. I'm going to add another piece.
Great.
And that is, I don't know about you, but I grew up in America and I grew up in Texas, and if the kid that was bold and the kid that talked out of line in school was punished.
Mm-hmm. Especially
the kid that was loud. Oh, especially, oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right, remember that girl. The kid that was loud, the kid that was in the back of the room tapping and causing rambunctiousness or doodling in class, like that guy, they were punished in front of everybody, right? At least in my school, they were. They were punished.
Yeah, that was me. I can relate.
They were punished. Now, there's usually it was always a boy, usually. Mm-hmm. And then you had a few girls, but definitely girls didn't. We were the good girls. That was be a good girl, right? And then so when we are as entrepreneurs and coaches saying, be out there, be bold, we're going up against at least 12 years.
Yeah.
At least. 12 years. That's just in school. Who knows what the psychology at home was.
Mm-hmm.
Of to stand down and stay in line.
Yeah.
And then we're telling them, no, get out of line. Get out of line. Be different. Get bold. Step out. It's very challenging on a psychological level.
I so agree with you.
It's so deeper than just worth, I think.
Yeah.
I think it goes so deeper into a psychology that we are told at extremely young age, do not be a bull in a china cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Do not step out of line. I remember in second grade, standing there in line for like the bathroom or something. We're all like good little girls and boys. We're all standing in line. I think I put my foot out or something. Like, stand in line, get in line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like some army or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I always laugh now because even today, people look at me and go, wow, you're really out of the box. I'm like, I don't think I am. I still feel very imprisoned.
Mm.
And I'll share this one story. It was, for some reason, second grade was one of those grades, right, Bonnie? and I'll just share the story because it's so perfect of what the psychology we're all dealing with. All of us are. Mm-hmm. I'm in second grade. Miss George is my teacher. So what are you, second grade? I'm like 8, 9-ish. And I'm sitting in my seat and I've got to go potty. So I raise my hand, right? I'm a good little girl. I raise my hand and Miss George doesn't see me. And I've raised my hand. It feels like forever, but I don't know how long it was. Probably 10, 15 minutes. I'm waving my hand. I'm not moving from my seat. I do not move. I'm waving my hand. I'm right. Putting my hand up. I can't hold it anymore. I pee in my pants and pee all over the floor. Okay. I'm like 8. Of course, everyone sees me. Everyone laughs. They have to call my mom, right? Get me a new whole outfit, whole deal, right? Mm. And I'll never forget it. I'm sitting there in the room with me, my mom, Miss George, and no one's in the classroom. And Miss George looks at me and goes, sweetheart, why don't you just go? And I go, but you told me that I have to ask permission. Which one is it? Right? Mm. Which one is it? She's like, well, honey, if you had to go that bad, you could just go. And I'm like, but you told me that I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to upset you, right? So there it is, right there. Mm-hmm. That's our whole life right there in front of us.
Yep. Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
We want to be able to be out there, and yet it's like we have to ask permission, but yet you told me that it's okay that I really have to go. So where's the emergency line, right? Mm-hmm. Where is it really okay to just bust out and walk into the bathroom? Or, you know, I was doing what I was told, I was asking permission. That's right there what some psychology has to do with omnipresent. If I say to you and you're listening right now, you're like, oh, I hear that being omnipresent. But there's this huge psychology way deep down you, probably from your first, second grade, third grade class, saying, don't step out of the line.
Yeah. Well, and I think all of those life experiences and limiting beliefs that we carry throughout our lives from when we were kids, most of them, that's why we don't have self-worth. I mean, that's why we have self-worth issues and we don't value ourselves enough. And no one's going to value you as much as you value yourself. And I know you know that as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But people, I totally agree with you. And thank you for sharing your story in second grade, because I think many of us had experiences like that, which is kind of why we're struggling with stuff like this today.
Mm-hmm. I love my little second grade Miss George story. She's awesome.
Yeah.
It really does. I have to remind myself, and sometimes I have a coach, obviously, and sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm looking for permission here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay, I gave you permission. I'm like, okay, thanks. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm clear, I'm doing it. I'm like, can you just give me permission so that I could feel like I'm getting that? She's like, okay, you officially have permission. Okay, great.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's this weird little moment. She knows what I'm doing, and I know what I'm doing. It's like, so telling one on myself. But
that's what's happening now with me. I'm going through that myself, like being omnipresent and allowing rejection. I recently, Bonnie, if you know this, you've been following me online or not, is that I just did a comedy class, a stand-up comedy class.
Yep.
And I did that for one reason only. I did that because I have a fear of rejection.
Mm.
And so I thought, well, okay, how do I get rid of this fear of rejection? Well, you stand up on the stage and you force people to laugh at you. There you go. Boom. Boom. Drop the mic. So I did it. And I'll never forget, we did it in front of a live audience. And that was part of the class. That was the end. And I've been on stage a lot, Bonnie. I'm in front of the camera podcast. It doesn't even faze me. I never get nervous. Whatever. I was literally shaking before I got on stage. I was shaking. I was getting hot. I had to take off my jacket. I was so nervous. And on top of that, the teacher made me first. And I asked her, do you hate me? What's the deal? Why are you making me first? She goes, no, you have this great energy about you and everyone's going to start with you and it's going to be amazing. I'm like, right. That's awesome. Thanks. Thanks a lot. So I did out there and I did my thing. I have no clue if I was funny. Everyone said I was funny. That's great. Congratulations to me. But the point is I got through this rejection because part of comedy is basically, they call it self-deprecation. So you have to basically put down yourself in a way in front of people, you know, humility, to basically have people laugh at you, which is very counterintuitive, generally speaking, but it's also very counterintuitive in our industry, which when we're out there going, I'm amazing, work with me, I'm amazing. And then I'm out there going, oh, I'm not so great. Right? It's very counterintuitive, but it really had me realize that my massive fear of rejection had nothing to do with out there. It has to do with me. And afraid of people to see what I call, you know, the ugly side, like there's something ugly, but just like the realness about me, right? The realness about me and the realness about my life. So
another great story. You know, Heather Ann, we've talked about so many awesome things and we could probably talk all day about this because it's such great stuff. But I know that, you know, like our time is almost up and people's life is busy and they probably have a bunch of stuff in their head already today. So if there was just one more thing that you really wanted them to remember from our conversation today, what's that one thing that you really want people to leave with?
Be omnipresent or go home. Be everywhere like a boss. That's truly, truly the message of this show.
Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome golden nugget to share. And I know that after listening to our show today, people are going to want more of you. So tell us how they can get more of Heather Ann Havenwood.
Well, they can go to heatherhavenwood.com. However, I am very active on Instagram and LinkedIn, and both of them are Heather Havenwood. The only one out there, so that's good, right? So heatherhavenwood.com. If you're interested in having a conversation with me, literally get on the phone, let's have a conversation. They can go to callwithheather.com and schedule a time with me for 45 minutes to have a conversation strategy session to see if I'm a fit. And so that is callwithheather.com.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I've had you on the show once before, and it was a blast last time, and we had just as much fun, I think, this time. So thank you so much for sharing with all of us here at The Holistic Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Bonnie. Appreciate your time.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.